VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And today is the special bonus program, being the fifth one in September. So it's going to be free to everyone who will listen. How's that for a deal?
That is such a deal.
Now that it's summer, or summer's gone, I mean, then we got to start giving out presents because, as Angela was saying a few minutes ago, Christmas is coming.
Well, it actually is.
I know, 3 months from now, it's over.
I know, it's crazy.
It is nuts. I don't know where it goes. Oh, well, anyway, welcome back, everybody, all the regulars. We appreciate you always listening. That's what we're here for. If you're new to the show, if you've heard about it, or if you're just driving by and you didn't change your channel since you were listening to something else, welcome. Try to stick around for the hour. We talk about all kinds of fun things. We'll have a trivia question and, like everybody else, there are things you probably wonder about and don't really know. So all you got to do, if you want to change the path of the show a little bit, is to give us a call at 904-222-TALK. It's 222-8255. And you can ask us a question, and we will respond to your question. There are no dumb questions. Remember that. As I love to remind the audience, your job is to make the host look good. So the easier the question, the easier it is for us to look good. But if you have a complicated one, one of two things will happen. We'll either answer it, or we'll get back to you next week by telling you that we're not really sure this week. So you can always, also, if you want to, you can email us through our website, VanWeeFinancial.com. You can email us questions. You can give us a phone call. Almost anything that you want to know, we'll find a way to get back to you. And, of course, if you want to ever come in and see us, that is real easy, too, and it can also be done through the website. So there's lots going on these days. We wrapped up another month. We wrapped up another quarter. And all of those gloom and doom people, like the sell in May and go away people and the worst month of the year is September people, they all kind of blew it this year a little bit. Things have been pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good. So this week in the market, despite all the turmoil in D.C., if you think that stuff doesn't affect markets, you are absolutely incorrect.
Well, that stuff, I mean, there can be stuff in D.C. that affects markets, but a Supreme Court justice nomination is not one of them.
No, it's not that. It's what's going on.
It's craziness, and I think that both sides of the aisle probably feel the same way this week, like everything has gone crazy.
But coming out of D.C. this particular week is some of the best news ever. You know what it is?
I do not.
They took a break until after the election.
that's crazy.
People, for 5 weeks, they're not going to be spending any more of our money than they usually do. No new spending, no new turmoil. It's going to be so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So just kick back and relax and enjoy it. What the heck?
No doubt. So, yeah, to top that all off, we had some trade negotiations gone awry this week. We had
just a bump in the road.
Some little worries over the Italian government's sustainability, it looked like, on Friday. The Italians, that government they have in place is not real popular outside of Italy.
Now, is this the same one they had last week?
Who knows? I think it's the eighth since Trump got elected or something.
And there's something like 192 of them since World War II, like that.
They do switch a lot. But despite all of that, it's pretty remarkable. The market is actually holding up just fine. We made it through the week relatively unscathed. The NASDAQ actually posted gains of about 0.7%. The S&P dropped 0.5%, and the Dow shed 1.1%. But since Friday was the last day of the quarter, we can look back and say, wow, to the third quarter. It was really, really good.
And very well balanced.
It was. Believe it or not, the Dow gained 9% this quarter. I I was kind of shocked when I looked at that.
I double-checked the figures.
Yeah. S&P posted a 7.2% gain, and the NASDAQ gained 7.1%. So I don't really care that we gave a little bit back this week. The stocks had a fantastic quarter.
That's notoriously one of the worst weeks of the year, too.
So while stocks did well, other areas of the market did not. Gold and silver both declined. Gold dropped about 4.5% during the quarter, and silver dropped almost 9%. Emerging markets and international stocks managed to kind of halt their steep declines seen in the first half of the year. They posted very modest gains, though. I mean, we're talking like less than 0.5%. And oil rallied in September to close the quarter up over 4%. So
that's
not bad.
That's a high close for the last couple of years.
It was down pretty far a month ago, and then it just rallied all throughout September to make up those losses. The aggregate bond market continued to decline, dropping just under 1% during the quarter. But if you were long on anything, you probably lost closer to 2 or 3%. Mm-hmm. So
there was a rate increase this week, as we told you there would be.
Yeah. And so if you didn't realize market returns of 7% in your portfolio this quarter, don't be surprised. No. Balanced portfolios, I just went through a bunch of them last night, and they all saw gains between 1 and 4.5% from the ones I looked at. So if you were anywhere in there, somewhere between 2 and 3% on average, you probably were invested correctly.
Yeah, every time we get periods of time like this where diversification is actually returning less than the S&P 500, they come out of the woodwork with stories like, is modern portfolio theory dead? You see more and more of all the time.
Of course.
And they're out there again, and all we can tell you is, no, it's not.
No, it's not. You'll see it outperform, you'll see it underperform, and you'll see it match. You just never know. But
if you got 5 years or more and you use it, all that means, folks, is it's well diversified.
The shorter the time period you look at, the more likely that it will have underperformed.
Yeah. But if you're concerned about your performance in 1, 2, or 3 years, because, hey, you might need the money, you shouldn't be in the market anyway.
Exactly. So something interesting happened this week. The S&P sectors got shaken up, and there's no longer a telecom services sector.
No, and I thought it was a fantastic move.
It was. It was a really good move. The sector was pretty much being dominated by AT&T, Verizon, and CenturyLink, and there was little or no reason to buy an ETF that tracked the sector because it was tiny. The realignment created the communication services sector, which pulled some stocks out of the tech and consumer discretionary sectors.
Some big ones.
Yeah. Tech dropped 5.1% in total weighting, and consumer discretionary dropped 2.7%. The new sector has a weighting of almost 10%, and that's up from just under 2% for the telecom services sector. So it was a big move.
Yeah, lumping AT&T in with Google, for instance.
Right.
And taking Google out. Google is having a pretty big effect on the wrong indices and the wrong sector weightings.
So the stocks that got pulled from technology were Disney, Netflix, Comcast, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and a handful of others. eBay also shifted from technology to consumer discretionary. So that didn't affect the new one, but it still affected the overall weightings. So I think that overall it's a much better representation of the current environment than the prior one was. So
I
really
like
the move.
I think it's very healthy for the future of the S&P 500.
But I think this is something we'll see too. Technology companies start as tech and then they grow into something else. Amazon started as technology and now they are one of the biggest real estate holders anywhere. So that's what happens.
Oh, speaking of which, I'll tell you that one after the break.
Okay.
There's a few other things that are going on out there. After the break, we will have the trivia question for today, which is about mortgage rates.
Okay.
And we can wrap up anything else to do with this. And I've got a little sort of bonus question that I thought was a terrible surprise, talking about things that are in a sector, but they're really not necessarily in the sector that the stats show. Now I'm confused. All right, going to take a break anyway. I'll deconfuse myself over the next few minutes. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And we do have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. The question of the week. How many years ago were mortgage rates exactly like they are now? We've been through a cycle of interest rates that is really quite long. in the big history of things. And we're back where we were X number of years ago. What is X? All right, we've got a couple things to wrap up on the market. I do tell everybody that this next week we'll get jobs numbers starting on Wednesday with the ADP.
Yeah.
And that's always interesting. I believe this will be the last set of releases until the election, or at least in enough time to absorb them prior to the election. So this month, if it looks good, will be very instructive as to the pulse of the people. Yeah. I suspect it'll be another pretty good one.
I don't see any reason that it wouldn't, unless it's a one-off. I don't doubt that.
Oh, did you see the final revision to the GDP?
Yeah, it was unchanged, actually, right at 4.2. For
it was more certified than revised.
Yeah.
4.2 is a nice, solid number.
It is. It's a lot higher than we've seen in a long time.
Yep.
So we saw some other strong economic data this week. We had a rate hike, which was expected by everyone. I don't think there was any dissension among people who predict such things. New home sales increased this month, reversing what had been a trend downward. That a lot of that still due to lack of inventory. Builders just are not keeping up with demand in terms of new homes. And in existing homes, kind of the same thing. You're seeing sales numbers decline, but there just isn't any inventory out there. It's still definitely a seller's market. Personal income rose 0.3% in August. It's another month of strong gains. Some people will tell you that that is not a strong gain. 0.3%.
They're wrong.
Yeah, in 1 month is absolutely a strong month. At this rate, the national media might have to even admit that something's working out there in the economy.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
And lastly, as predicted, weekly jobless claims spiked due to the hurricane all the way up to 214,000. If you sense the sarcasm, you would be correct. It's actually a great number. Imagine what would have happened if we hadn't had that hurricane and all those people had kept their jobs and not been flooded out. So I suspect that within a couple of weeks, we really might see a sub 200,000 number. So keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, I think if we'd not had a hurricane, you would probably already see it.
I thought it might happen last week. We got really close at 201,000.
And what's going to happen up there is when it starts drying out and things get working again, not only will the people who were working up there go back to work, but they'll be bringing in other people to help
them recover.
Definitely.
So that's just going to be more job creation.
I would think this time next month, you might see numbers that are just astoundingly low. Mm-hmm.
I would not be shocked.
All right, that's it. What do you expect next week? Beginning of October, good, bad, otherwise.
I don't know. It's hard to get a real pulse on the market, especially this week. It was all over the place. There's no real solid momentum in either direction, so I would expect that we could see a little bit of both again. Hopefully not driven by politics. Hopefully driven by other market events.
One of the things that came through in the numbers for this month that I really liked was the degree of optimism in the market. The bullish sentiment ticked up just a little bit.
Just a hair.
Some people moved from on the fence into that, but they're still below where they've been on average for this entire bull market.
Yeah, and in case you don't listen normally, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, when you see bullish sentiment in the private citizen sector go off the charts, that is such a good predictor that the market's going to drop.
Yeah, and if you were listening the last couple of weeks, I've been making fun of the fully funded life insurance people, and I'm not done. But one of the things that she was using to justify the position was panic buying.
Yeah, that's not true.
When your bullish sentiment is below average, there is no panic buying,
and
people.
By the way, it's in the 30% range.
Yeah.
It's not even
we're
not even
so close to one-third bearish, one-third bullish, and one-third neutral that there's no real sentiment chasing anything, whether it's gains or losses, which means people are just kind of comfortable, and you never know what will happen. So as long as the jobs numbers look good, the layoffs are low, I don't imagine that there's much going on out there that would change the way things are. It looks like we should cruise to a nice finish for the year in the absence of anything really strange. So whatever you're doing, if it's working, stay the course. And if it's not, we'll talk about that a little bit too and why you might want to consider not making the 10th fatal mistake of investors.
One of my one of the companies I follow most closely that does economic analysis is still standing by their prediction of S&P 3100 by the end of
the year. It's a big number.
So, yeah, it is. But
it's also a very big, reachable number.
We're above 2,900 right now, so it's not impossible.
No. And there is an increasing amount of chatter out there about recessions. Now, what in the world could you possibly be talking about recessions for? There's just nothing.
Who knows?
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Well, I'm livid.
was this something I said?
No, I bet I know.
You know, in World War II, the Nazis thought of the Russians as subhuman. And I never thought I would say this, but we got a bunch of subhumans in the Senate.
I don't disagree with a word of that.
What they tried to do, I mean, I completely forgot about time, about my money, when I was listening to Kavanaugh speak, and he's about the same age as me. And it was like, I was thinking, how would I react if I was sitting there trying to defend my name? And, you know, the whole process just stinks to high heaven. And it was so upsetting, and I know you guys are upset too. And to smear an innocent man like this, it's just like, what is happening to our country? It's like due process is being thrown out the window. And, these people in these states, like Connecticut and Illinois, ought to be ashamed of themselves for putting Dick Durbin and Blumenthal in these Senate seats. They're a bunch of subhumans, as far as I'm concerned.
My problem isn't even with them. It's with Arizona for putting Flake.
Yeah, the ones that don't even pretend to be Republicans, I think, are one whole class by themselves. But the pretend Republicans, the true rhinos, are the true problem. We just got to throw the entire set of the bums out,
and
one
so
by one.
What do? They get the FBI, the same organization that bungled the Hillary investigation to investigate the guy. It stinks. You're right. It stinks.
It is DC. The good news is the stock market, as Adam said in the early part of the show, doesn't really care that much.
Nope, sure doesn't.
And that, if anything, you can take to the bank. So how's your account doing lately?
Yeah, we're doing good. I mean, like I said, I didn't even care that I made money this week. I mean, I was so enthralled with this, and thank God for Lindsey Graham.
No kidding. Did you ever think those words would come out of your mouth?
Oh, my God. I mean,
most of us have never said words like that about Lindsey Graham in our lives, but he was a superhero this week, in my opinion.
He was awesome, and he reflected the anger from tens of millions of people that were watching.
Yes, absolutely. I've got my own theory. I don't usually get too steeped in politics on the radio, but I have my own theory, and I get a lot of funny looks for this. But how about we get a real attorney general by the name of Lindsey Graham? Think about that one for a while.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be great. I mean, one other point before I let you go.
I mean,
I don't know if you saw Sheila Jackson Lee slip an envelope to those football attorneys.
I saw it, yeah.
Well, that must have been a payoff from George Soros. That's
I love your conspiracy theory mind. It works just like mine. What can you say?
Well, you know, like you said, the market didn't care.
Nope.
You know, we all make money. It's great that we all make money, but there's bigger, more important things in play here. And
I've got grandchildren.
Yeah. And I got children. You all have children. I mean, this is huge.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Hey, you want to take a shot at the trivia question?
Okay.
How many years has it been since mortgage rates were exactly where they are now?
I'm going to say 12.
That's what Adam
said. That's what I guessed, yeah.
It was not quite that long, but that's a good bracket now. We've got it narrowed down quite a bit. We appreciate it. I loved your comments. I'm with you all the way.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Chuck.
Thanks for writing, calling, and listening and all those things. See you later. Oh, boy. It's true. But As I said, the good news is we're able to stay somewhat detached from it as investors. I'm sure Adam will back me up on this. We haven't done one thing to alter any investment plan.
Nope.
or the political things.
Personal politics aside, which I always try and do when I look at when I talk finance, the optimal outcome out of all of this for your wallet is that the Democrats actually do what they think they're going to do and take over the House, and then that's a stalemate for 2 years, and nothing gets done, the market will go up. That is my prediction.
That sounds a little bit like we're rolling over and giving in, and that is not the
that's
point
not
whatsoever.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Nope. The investors, the Wall Street class, loves divided government because nothing ever gets done. Larry, can you hang on until after the break? We've only got a few seconds, and I don't want to get involved with a call that we can't go carry through with. So if you'll just hang on, we'll appreciate it. We got to take a short break, after which we'll pick up Larry's call and talk about a bunch of other things. I got some doozies for you coming up, and you know how much I like that. All right, don't go anywhere. Make a little money, and then we'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And the trivia question is still out there, brought to you by First Coast Alarm. How many years ago were mortgage rates at today's level? We know that it's under 12 years, and we might have a guest coming up. Good morning, Larry.
I won't burn your time. Van Lee Financial Live on World Tour. I'm guessing 10.
You're sneaking up on it, but that's still a little bit high.
I helped somebody.
Yes, you did, and I'm sure they're grateful.
Can I ask a question, kind of a rude question? Are y'all Dutch?
Is the Pope Catholic?
So it's
okay, dumb question, right?
No, not at all.
Now, the truth of the matter is we're a small piece Dutch and much more Norwegian, but for some reason on my dad's side, there's always one male in the family that just keeps the name carrying on for a while.
I love it. Hey, well, the intelligence gene carried through.
My dad always debatable. Said there are two kinds of people in the world, the people who are Dutch and the people who wish they were.
That's it.
Nothing biased well, about him,
Dutch
was there?
Trade, you know what I mean. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
I'm guessing it's another
Cheryl, guess. Good morning.
Good morning.
Uh-oh. Oh, did we lose you?
Yeah, it sounds like we lost her.
Cheryl, nope. Oh.
Hello.
Oh, there
Hello.
She is.
Okay, we got you back.
All
okay.
right.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, Cheryl.
Hi, 11 years.
No, it's still too high.
Still too high.
Sorry, good guess, though.
Darn it.
We'll next be week. Back next week. Maybe you will
Bye-bye.
Be, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Mary.
Hi, I'd like to make a guess on the trivia question.
Do that, please.
I'm thinking 2011, it was just under 5%, so that would be 7 years.
Ooh, just a little low. You're talking about a bracket now. We've got 10 on the high side and 7 on the low, so hey, anybody okay. out there can do a little quick math?
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, at least you know people are listening.
Yeah. You know, I usually have a point.
Yeah.
And I do sort of have a point on this one. And that point is that the good times are not all gone yet. We're just backing up a little in time.
Yeah. I mean, if you look historically, mortgage rates are still really low.
Yeah. Howard and Angela were talking about that, too, because they were talking about how rates were going up. But they also were quick to remind everybody that just because the rates are ratcheting up, it does not mean that the rates are too high. And in fact, what's happening now, you're seeing a little bit of a slowdown in price increases on the houses, and that's because the mortgages are higher, and they do offset each other. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Great.
Thanks.
What's
doing
up?
Doing some yard work and enjoying the show, as usual, on Saturdays.
Well, somebody's got to work besides us.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yep.
Well, I'm just going to be the opportunist, and I'm going to guess 8 on the trivia question.
You got it.
How could you not?
Well, let's just say there was some preliminary legwork done for
well,
you.
Well, actually, you could have guessed 9. I don't think that
well, that's
guess.
True.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I was going to say, I had a 50-50 shot. So.
You got it. I'll put you on hold if it's okay. And
wait, I think, Larry, isn't there something that you wanted to bring up?
Issue? Well, I'll tell you back in a few weeks about that.
Oh, okay. It's too early. Okay. I'd spoken with Larry yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit early, okay. But I definitely want to chat with you guys about an upcoming event.
Okay.
It's going to be coming up in December. So.
It's a good one, too, guys. Just
we'll be ready when you are. I'll put you on hold.
Guys. Appreciate both of you guys.
All right, hang on. All right, we got it. It was 8 years ago that the cycle had been peaked, and it started to come down, and it went down lower than we are now, as everybody knows, and a whole bunch of us were jumping on the refis and the purchases and so on. That we're back to an eight-year-ago level does not indicate that rates are high by any way, shape, or form. Prices are rising, but they're not rising all that fast. It's still an excellent time to be in the real estate market. I would be a little cautious, as I always am, about just buying another piece of property. And that reminds me of the reoccurrence of something that doesn't happen a whole bunch these days. Susie Orman showed her face in the U.S. I don't know how many of you know her or know of her. She has been retired on an island where she does a lot of deep sea fishing, which, as Adam said, sounds like she died and went to heaven.
Yeah, if they have good surf, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can always put a board behind the tow motor or something like that. So, yeah, anyway, she was saying it's been 10 years since the financial crisis of 08, and a lot of experts feel like Americans are falling back into the old habits. So everybody wanted to own a home, and the nation's lenders were getting really is there a difference between aggressive and stupid?
It depends.
Yeah.
In this case, it was stupid.
They passed aggressive into stupid, but they did it because the government was helping them do it. The whole concept of wanting everybody to own a home made people act crazy. Now, with Freddie and Fannie, the mortgage originators back then knew that all they had to do was originate the mortgage and they could sell it immediately to Freddie or Fannie. Now, Freddie and Fannie had one little thing that they didn't pay attention to, they meaning Freddie or Fannie or the borrowers or the mortgagers, and that was that they were never intended to be guaranteed by U.S. taxpayers. The second it hit the fan in the mortgage business and they had massive debts and defaults and foreclosures, the first thing Congress did was jump on the bandwagon and make Fannie and Freddie a guarantee by the U.S. taxpayers. So what we did not cause, they did. And then we got stuck with the bill because we always do. And that's what Congress does. It spends our money many times in ways that we had no idea about. They make dumb decisions like that. Well, now things are a little bit different, but now you're starting to see some of these mortgages come back, and you'll see them at the 3% down, 3.75% down.
I mean, somewhat, but those are programs that are designed for a very specific reason. So
that is true.
Like a lot of those go to first-time home buyers, yeah, and young military couples and things like that.
And a lot of the
people that are, it's going to take a long time for them to save up 20% down. And that's the fact of life today is it's really hard to put down 20% without some help from your parents.
If you are otherwise extremely qualified through your cash flow, right, and longevity of the job, that kind of thing, then I really don't have much of a problem with that. But when we start getting stupid again about who we're lending to, it says danger, danger. Now, what people are forgetting was how much money they lost when they were buying these spec homes. We're going to come back to that because I don't see.
Yeah, drop the call. Oh, well. They'll call back, hopefully. Yep.
I can take it?
Okay. Oh, okay. They're not here. Okay.
Oh, okay. We had a call, anyways, but I think he'll call back. Anyway, when the lenders and the buyers all get a little carried away, it sets up for danger. Buying an additional piece of property is not always as good as it looks.
No, in fact, most times it's not. Right. If you start hearing the term ninja loan again, no income, no job, except right, approved, then worry. But I haven't seen that yet. So
yeah, it's coming, though, trust me. All right, here we go. Marshall.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
The non-prime debacle, I think I've mentioned to y'all before, there was a New York Times writer who wrote a book that actually listed all the people responsible for it.
Yes, I remember. I don't remember the name, but yes.
It started with a D, but let me give you the real simple pieces. Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, and more of those that we've just been talking about that are subhuman. Brought Kenny and Freddie to do all these next month. You want me to hold on and answer?
Yeah. Why don't you hold on till after the break?
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Dodd and Frank and all the other ones that you've heard me be skeptical of at best, I guess, they were trying to undergo a process of making sure every American who wanted one could buy a home. That started way back under Carter. Clinton made it worse. Then they start upping the percentage of subprime loans that they had to give so that more and more people can get there. The truth is there's an optimal home ownership pattern in the country, and it appears to be somewhere perhaps in the low to mid 60s. If you try to get up around 70%, you're going to wind up with a lot of non-qualified homeowners. So we'll have more of Marshall right on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. Back to Marshall. Marshall?
Hey.
Welcome back.
Let me say, first off, there is nothing more important to a modern income family than to own a home. The statistics are off the chart as to how better the kids' education is because they stay in the same school, all those different things. There's nothing worse than getting a low-income family into a home they can't afford because you destroy what little finances they have.
No doubt
what
about it.
What Barney and Chums did is incestuous. They had their buddies did deals with Fannie Mae that were fraudulent, that were awful.
You wouldn't
and
be referring to
happening.
You wouldn't be referring to people like Franklin Rain, would you?
No. It's really a matter of what they were doing with a lot of subprime. I'm looking at the bird. No. What really screwed it up was there were already subprime lenders out in the market trying to balance up people who had a little bruised credit to be able to make something work for them at a little bit higher rate. But when Fannie Mae was given a $2 trillion rule to go out and originate low to moderate income, they started buying the better of the non-prime that they could get. And all the other companies had to go do worse loans. So it was an unbelievable nightmare of things, and they knew what they were doing because the people who were building the apartments, doing the down payment assistance programs that they shoved down Fannie Mae's throat, those were the contributors for Mr. Dodd and Mr. Frank. So when you read the book, it becomes really, really clear.
Yeah.
And it really upset me because I was blessed for many years to deal with first-time home buyers, deal with people using down payment assistance, seeing young couples, just people being able to buy their first home and get into it and afford it. That's valuable.
Cool.
It's those guys who screwed us all up.
Cool. Marshall, if you think about it when you're at home and have some time on your hands, shoot me an email with the name of that book, would you?
I will do so.
I appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, there was so much that went wrong in that time.
Yeah, it was a comedy of errors, except nobody's laughing. Captain Dave.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Never better. How about you?
Oh, fantastic. I got a great idea for a business.
Well, shoot.
Here's what we'd do. Since there's this lender out there that will buy anything from anybody that can fog a mirror, we'll start loaning money to people. And what we'll do is we'll loan them construction money. So that means the closing on that loan is non-RESPA, which is the real estate requirements. And then we'll fix up their credit for them, and then we'll get them into permanent financing. And when we get them into permanent financing, we're not only going to finance 100% of the loan, we're going to finance 104%.
Oh, there's
so
a great idea.
A whole lot of cash at the closing table.
Yeah,
but that's okay because real estate only goes up.
That's right.
Of course. And then we'll take all these mortgage-backed securities, and we'll put them in a big box. And we'll sell them to somebody for another 3% discount.
And we'll rank their credit according to the seller's credit, not the credit involved in the CMAs.
That's right. And so you got a bunch of people who have nothing invested and can walk away anytime they want because they don't have anything in it in the first place. The problem is there's no software that does that. At the time, there's a company called Calyx, which is the major software mortgage origination. So what we'll do is we'll get this old retired captain I know who's a Microsoft engineer, and he can write some software where the software can actually figure out how best to frame this pile of crap so it looks like it's really nice.
Put some lipstick on this pig.
Yeah, and that's what I did once. And but boy, those guys, everybody, you know, we used to run a lot. Yeah, you know my story, Steve.
Yeah.
But we used to run a lot of things. There was an outfit called Alliance Funding that was like a bundler. And you could sell those pieces of garbage. Like I say, you could sell them for 3%.
Yep.
And over the 4, over the 100. So now there were people who were closing loans, buying properties, closing loans with no money down, not a penny out of pocket, walking away from the table with 10 grand in their pocket, and then flipping the thing to some other idiot.
Yeah, I'm sensing a little bit of facetiousness in your voice today, I think.
Well, you know me. I've been around the block once twice in the financial industry, even though I'm a ship captain.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, when you put it that way, it doesn't even sound good.
Get back there again. I'm starting to see 3% down. You know.
You're reading the same things I am, and your intuition and mine are parallel. Yeah.
You know, this fog of mirror will give you a loan.
You got it.
I wouldn't get too worried.
And it was all done under the auspices of, oh, we're going to let poor people have homes.
Right.
And you can almost blame George Bush for some of this, too.
Oh, for sure.
His idea.
He let it happen. I mean, he didn't stop it.
He bumped up the requirements of the subprime loans just like Clinton did.
Yep. And, so everybody did a nice job, and everybody got rich, and everybody got houses, and the bottom fell out of that Ponzi scheme.
Yep. They never last forever, do they?
It's a subject dear to my heart, only because I was sort of involved in it. I have a pretty nice piece of software, though. You can make that thing walk and chew gum, I'm telling you.
But liars figures lie, those things.
I could what-if a thing to death. I mean, you could start, you know, you could take the top of the blanket and cut it off and sew it to the bottom, and the blanket looks bigger than it used to. Took me about a year to write the code, though.
But anyway, oh man!
You guys have a great weekend.
Always fun. You take care of yourself.
You're right.
All right. Well, we got a couple minutes left. The fully funded life insurance industry. You know who they are, don't you? You know some of the names. Even these are the people that you can live tax free for the rest of ever. You sell everything you got, pay all the taxes on it, put all this money in a life insurance policy, and then you borrow against it for the rest of your life because it'll make 8% internal. Year after year after year, always forward, never back. They're third cousins to the annuity people, and they're potentially even worse as the types of claims they made. Well, I thought I had seen it all until this week when I realized I haven't seen it all yet. And it's the same one I've been complaining about for 2 weeks, the one who justified their prognostication using a quote from a Hollywood movie producer. Boy, oh boy, thanks a bunch, huh? Well, as one of our recent presidents used to say, I misunderestimated the industry's low point. Now they have brought into play the good name of Ted Benna. Now, for those of you who might remember who Ted Benna is, he is credited as being the founder of the 401k plan. What he actually did was to read the U.S. tax code. For that, I think he deserves sainthood. But in reading it, he discovered a provision number 401k. Well, what did 401k do? Everybody thinks, well, that allows you to defer your salary into your own plan and get a tax deduction for it. But that isn't the point. The point of Section 401k is to allow the employer to match all or part of that contribution up to a certain level and deduct it. This is all about tax deductions. So when an employer was maxing out on the old profit sharing and the pension, and they still had extra money they wanted to get a deduction for and they could help their employees, the 401k plan became the outlet for getting an increased tax deduction. Everything was fine. Here's the problem. When Benna found this and promoted it, and he did it very well, he went right to the halls of Congress and got it promoted, and the rest is pretty much history. What he never figured on was that it would replace traditional pensions. In Benna's mind, the 401k was an additional form of retirement savings. So when the life insurance people say that Ted Benna, by his own admission, had created a monster and would like to blow it up, it is not the 401k. That's not the monster he created. The monster he created, he didn't actually create.
Well, he didn't. That 401k didn't displace pensions. Pensions had all sorts of problems on their own. That's what really got rid of the pensions.
Well, the other reasons that he hated them so much by the time he got older was because of the high cost and the low diversification available inside it. Well, that's been addressed sort of steadily since George W. Bush had the Pension Protection Act. I'm going to wrap more of this up next week, but I'm going to tell you right now, the 401k is not a monster and does not need to grow up. The people who sell them, advise them, and a lot of the people who own them are making some big mistakes. If you listen to this show, don't make those mistakes. I'll tell you what they are next week. All right, it's been fun. Too fast. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. See you next week.